Hey everybody, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and before we get started, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I wanted to thank you for listening and supporting our ministry. Since it's December, we're actually re-airing some of our Best of 2025 special programs featuring messages of hope and encouragement from throughout the year shared by some of our most popular guests. With so many people hurting right now, we want to continue being the hands and feet of Jesus by offering people care and providing resources that help you build stronger relationships with God and with those around you. But we can only do this with your help. If you feel led to support our ministry, visit aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to make a tax-deductible donation that will allow you to be the hands and feet of Jesus alongside of us.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thank you, Dad. I'm Dr. Zach, and you know, my dad and I have a heart for those men and women who wear the badge. That's right. Law enforcement officers and first responders across this country provide some of the most critical services and perform some of the most dangerous jobs you could ever imagine. And with today being National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, we want to shine a light on the police, sheriff's deputies, highway patrol, federal and state agents, even fire, EMS, and every other type of public servant who took an oath to protect us and enforce our nation's laws. And with me is a very special man who served for 6 years in law enforcement and faced the fire, both external and internal demons, and lived to tell about it. His name is Adam Davis. He co-wrote 2 books with my ministry friend, Chad Robichaux, and he has an amazing testimony. Truly a built different guy. Adam has experienced a variety of trauma in his own life, has dealt with PTSD and encountered dark depression on the job with suicidal ideations. But through the grace of God and a lot of work, and is in a great place with a beautiful wife of 25 years and 3 kids, ages 21, 19, and 16. Adam answered the call as a young man to protect and serve as a police officer in his hometown in Alabama, and now serves as a reserve officer. He's the author of Behind the Badge, 365 Daily Devotions for Law Enforcement, and Bulletproof Marriage, a 90-day devotional. And on May 5th of this year, 2026, he'll release his new book, Bulletproof Family. Since 2015, Adam has devoted his life to delivering books, courses, trainings, and keynotes that encourage first responders and rescuers, as he likes to call them. Adam has presented for the Texas Highway Patrol Leadership Conference, the City of Columbus, Ohio Police and Fire, and the NYPD. His media appearances include The Huckabee Show, Good Morning America, The 700 Club, and the Team Never Quit podcast with Marcus Luttrell, also a ministry friend to us at Ignite Men's Impact Weekend. Adam, my friend, again, a new friend, but a fast friend. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Zach, what an honor to be with you. I really appreciate the opportunity, brother. Thank you.
Man, as we dive into your story, sir, as I mentioned, God has done something special through your life as it relates to law enforcement, and we'll unpack some of those chapters, and we'll unpack some of the backwater too, but right now, you're going full-time ministry, 10 books, speaking, training, encouraging first responders, and just leaders across America. I'd love to hear from you just what this new season of life is like, and really, what's at the heart of the ministry that God has called you to?
Well, it's a battle for one more. There is no glamour and there is no glory except for which my Father receives in heaven. This is for one more. And, you know, I speak to the warrior class, and I know that that's not a term that a lot of people want to use in today's society, but the reality is we need godly warriors to stand up and fight against the evil that's in our world today. And so for me, it's sharing my testimony and sharing the message that I've been given to share so that it penetrates through the lens of trauma and pierces the hearts and the minds of those who are listening so that they can find freedom and liberty in their heart and soul so they can live unconquered. That's the whole message, is to rip them out of the grip of trauma, whether it's childhood trauma or service-related trauma, whatever the source is, and introduce them to the real Jesus. That's my one main mission. It's messy. It's not glamorous, but it's effective, and God gets all the glory for it, man.
You know, I want to jump here for a moment, Adam, because law enforcement, it can be a tough go. There's a lot of men and women out there who are serving. They get a bad rap. It's a very difficult profession. It's a thankless profession. Somebody may be listening today that, you know, they feel disappointed, they feel overlooked, they feel dismissed, but they're out there giving their all to defend others, to serve, and really to sacrifice on behalf of so many people. And have people made bad decisions in the past? Like all of us, of course, nobody's perfect, but man, oh man, I'm grateful, and we back the black and blue. If you would, just continue to give us a word of hope to those men and women out there today as we start our conversation.
Yeah, you know what, if you're by chance listening to this and you're wearing a badge, I don't care what color the uniform is or what shape the badge is, if you're a law enforcement officer, a sworn peace officer in these great United States or somewhere around the world, I want you to hear what I've got to tell you. There may be people that have a loud microphone that say how much they hate you, and you know it. You and I both know it. But they just have a loud microphone. They are vastly outnumbered. There are people who appreciate you, but you don't do it for that. We don't do it for that. We don't get up every day and look for somebody to pat us on the back and tell us how much we appreciate it. In fact, it feels kind of awkward when people say thank you, because we're just answering a call. I want you to think about the little boy, the little girl who may be praying for God to send them an angel today. And I've seen angels, but they come in forms of cops. They come in the forms of men and women who wear a uniform, who ride a fire engine, who roll up with the lights and sirens screaming, with a duty belt and a gun badge and body armor. I know that there's angels from heaven. I know that there's divine beings, heavenly hosts. But more often than not, when that little boy or that little girl or some other adult is calling on God for an angel in the midst of their trouble, he's going to send you. And don't forget the reason why you do what you do. We don't do it for glory. We don't do it for fame. We don't do it for a pat on the back. And we don't even really do it for appreciation. But today we want you to know we love you. We appreciate you. We're praying for you. We've got your back. We may not be there on scene with you every day you respond, but you've got a host of people that are praying for you, that love you, and that we've got your back in every way possible. We'll be the voice for you in Town Square when you can't be the voice. And we will have a louder microphone, because we will let the world know that we back you, we support you, and that you're not alone. And if you find yourself battling demons in the middle of the night when no one else is around, after all the calls have quieted, after the radio has gone silent, there is a name above all names you can call on in the midst of your troubles. His name is Jesus. And I can't guarantee you anything else in this world, but I guarantee you this one thing, that if you call on the name of Jesus, he will respond. He's not our backup. He's our primary officer. He's our secret weapon and our greatest source of hope and refuge. You can put your whole trust in him today, and he will redeem you.
Amen, my friend. God gives us friends for the fire, but at the same time, he's the fourth man in the fire, and he always shows up and he shows off.
Always.
You know, I know you probably talk about these things and you're open about it. And it helps so many people when you are, but they still can't be fun things to reprocess and memories to bring back up. So I appreciate just your boldness and your courage in chatting through some of this with me and our audience today. At the same time, I want to keep on diving deeper into this idea, because you had shared and I read something about you a while ago that you had these emotions that you kind of learned to hide. And only really two people knew about those secrets, you and God. And, you know, as you mentioned, trauma has a way of resurfacing later in life, especially from childhood wounds. It can bleed into adulthood, because that which we don't work out, we begin to act out. And I would love to hear just when those emotional wounds were carried with you into adulthood. You mentioned how it maybe impacted your marriage early on and more, but what were some of those signs that, you know what, maybe it's time to begin to unpack some of this trauma that I was carrying with me throughout life?
Man, I did such a good job of masking it and burying it and pretending that I was okay. But, you know, at the first sign of conflict, our first year of marriage, I think I packed my bags 52 times. I tried to leave at least once a week. And I say it, you know, lighthearted, and but my wife will tell you the same thing. Like, anytime there's conflict, my first, like, I had rabbit feet. I wanted to run. And I've met a woman who, like, she was like, I'm here. I love you, man. Run all you want, but I'm right here. And eventually I matured. 2004, our first child was due to be born in March of 04, I think. And I don't think I know. And January-ish of that year, I'm doing some reflecting and I'm thinking about what it means to be a dad. And I realized that I had some stuff on the inside of me that needed to be dealt with, because there was no way I could be a good father to him with what was in me. And I didn't know how to label it. I didn't know how to approach it. And like, I didn't know what it was. So I remember standing out with my arms on the bed of my truck one night, the house we were in at the time. And it was hate, pure hate. Like, my dad's never done anything to hurt me other than getting a belt after my rear end when I earned it when I was a little boy. But when he would want to give me a hug or something, I never wanted him to hug me. I never wanted him to touch me. And it was not his fault. It was this other dude's fault, man. What he robbed me of, my innocence as a little boy. And I hated him. And I hated the woman when I was 15. I hated what they did to me spiritually. I hated what they did to me and how they changed my view and my perception of God and faith and church and relationships. And I, like, it was just pure hate, man. And I wanted to wipe them all off the face of the earth. And I knew I couldn't go forward, and I didn't have any formal training in forgiveness, if such a thing exists. And so I started the process very simply like this. God, I forgive them. Amen. I still hate them. I still want to kill them. I think I need to do it again. And I did. Every day, anytime that junk would surface. And so I began the process of forgiveness then. But it took, for me, it took years. It took years. I didn't see a therapist until January of 2022. For the first time in my life. And it was while I was writing the book that released in 23 that got me invited on GMA called Unconquered. And my wife is the one who came to me. She said, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to talk to somebody. This whole thing where you're not good enough is wreaking havoc on your life. And I genuinely believe that goes back to shame. That's rooted in shame. And so I went through EMDR and talked to a Christian trauma therapist and navigated some things and really, really helped me. My biggest regret is that I didn't see somebody a lot sooner, because it probably could have saved me a lot of hardship and pain. Because when you learn to pretend to be strong at such a young age, it becomes your natural state. And you put on this mask that everything's good. I'm good. I'm fine. And when really you're not, you're overwhelmed. And maybe it's not you're going through a traumatic situation, big T trauma. Maybe it's just chronic stress that's destroying you and robbing you of life. And whatever the case is, we have to have the courage to look at where we are, be brutally honest, but have some grace and compassion for yourself and realize, I don't have to do this alone, you know? And yeah, you know, I grew up going to church all the time, and I heard the messages, if you do this, you're going to go to hell. If you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. But tell me about the Jesus who ran towards me when I needed him the most. It wasn't about, like, and that was the vision I could see in my mind, in however you want to call it, when I called on him several years later, sitting in a patrol car, ready to end my life. That was the image that has always been burnt right here, is I didn't just run towards Jesus. When he saw me in need, he ran towards me, and it wasn't a jog. It was with everything he had. He left his throne for me and for you. And the power of Jesus works through godly men and women to set us free. And I wish I would have called on somebody sooner. So avoidance, I guess, is a word. I don't know. Like, I really avoided conflict. I wanted to please people around me because I didn't love myself enough to have boundaries, because I didn't want to hurt people's feelings. And so I didn't have boundaries. And so I'm just a yes man, people pleaser, you know, and avoiding conflict at all cost. And that will send you down a spiral of hardship that you cannot begin to describe if you don't deal with it pretty quickly. So, we could probably unpack that for about 6 or 7 hours, but maybe that addresses it.
Yeah, no, you know, Adam, my heart goes out to those who have been on the receiving end of abuse in any way, shape, or form of the word. And like you said, what it does, it begins to almost shatter or deteriorate like identity. We begin to experience diminished self-esteem. Countless individuals really struggle with loving others because they haven't first learned how to love themselves. For families out there, not just first responder families, but families who have faced constant separation, families who have faced unpredictable schedules, high stress, pressure, constant things that have created maybe division, that have created destruction, disappointment, so many things within their family life. I'd love to close this way. Just a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation to those families out there today as to how they might be able to live what you would call the unconquered life.
You know, I'll speak starting with my brothers, the men. I want to talk to you first. And here's the deal. Several years ago, I was standing in Marcus Luttrell's house, Navy SEAL, made a movie about him called Lone Survivor. And he had a towel over his shoulder. Me and him were just chatting in the kitchen of his home. And he said, you know, your wife doesn't need a warrior in the home. She needs somebody that's going to serve her. We think about that verse that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And what does that mean? It means to lay our lives down? Yeah, sure. I don't know a single sheepdog warrior class man who wouldn't die for his wife and children. But do you love them enough to live for them? Do you love them enough to serve them selflessly? Do you love them enough to go and say, babe, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? I see that I haven't been doing whatever. I'm going to work on this. And to the wives, like, for both of you to be gentle and kind towards one another, to love one another, to forgive quickly, because the children are watching, and they don't deserve. Like, I'm a fourth generation survivor of childhood sexual trauma, but I'm a first generation curse breaker. And to every man, to every father, to every husband, that is your job, is to take up the whole armor of God, to grab the sword of the Spirit, and to do battle, not just for your sake and not just for your wife, but for those children as well. My children will not carry my trauma. I'm breaking the chains in Jesus' name. And that's our job as brothers, as men, as husbands, as fathers, and wives. Love them well. This is not popular in a culture where it's just trash whatever is not convenient, but this is mutual submission to each other in honor for the glory of the name of Jesus. And when we have that model, instead of you respect me, you submit to me, it's mutual submission, mutual surrender, not in some weird way, but to glorify the name of Jesus. If, man, I'll tell you right now, if you'll go home tonight and you'll find a way to serve your wife and to serve your children, it will begin changing the environment in your home almost immediately. It changes everything. And then as you're consistent with it and you can begin introducing, leading them to Jesus, you can say, let's pray together at the dinner table and start introducing it that way, leading them to a Bible-based healthy church. No church is perfect, but a healthy church. But it's time to take a stand. This country has zero chance of surviving if families don't take a stand on the Word of God and surrender to Jesus and know what they believe and why they believe it. And the men have to lead the way. The men have to lead the way. Stop being the guy that sits in the back of the church and waits on everybody else to do their thing at the front. Like, lead the way, brother. Lead the way. Your wife and your children and your children's children and your entire bloodline is dependent on you to answer the call, not just on duty and in service, but for this time, right now.
Amen. Amen. You know, I heard a while ago, somebody said this, whatever's running through your family, whatever curses, generational patterns, wounds, addictions, depression, anxiety, whatever is running through your family, I hope it runs into you. Like you just said, Adam, man, let us be the ones, right, that step up, that step in, and that speak up for those, right, who need it the most. And let us be the ones. I love what you said. A first generation curse breaker, right? Being able to say, no, I'm taking the stand today. You can be that one. Adam Davis, my friend, you are a gift to the church. You're a gift to so many. You're a gift to me in my life. I'm grateful for the time you were willing to spend with me today and just sharing your testimony and such encouragement and hope and motivation to me as a man, as a husband, as a future father. I cannot wait. Just to continue to go back and re-listen to this one and take some more notes, because God's doing something special through you. One final question. Where can our audience go to find out more about you and to pick up a copy of your new book releasing May 5th, 2026, Bulletproof Family, a 90-day devotional designed to help families become closer, stronger, and more connected. Where can we go?
TheAdamDavis.com. TheAdamDavis.com is the easiest way to find me. I'm on social media, official Adam Davis. I'd love to hear from you. If you listen to today or watch this, I'd love to hear from you. But connect with me. You can contact me through my website. And books are listed on the website. They're all over wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever else. So what an absolute privilege it was to be able to sit here and talk to you. I'm truly grateful for it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I highly encourage all of our audience, make sure you go and check out again all of Adam's incredible resources. I mean, so many books, so many incredible things, the messaging on social media. It's been an encouragement to my heart, my friend. Again, from all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we're grateful for you. We love you. We appreciate you. And to all of our LLFF audience and listeners, thank you so much for joining us. If you're a law enforcement or anybody that wears the badge, again, today and every day, we see you, we love you, and we're praying for you. Thank you so much for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.